Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're talking about, it's just so cool that Australia is praying for us,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, very cool.
I am so thankful, not only Australia, but a global call to prayer.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to join in and pray myself. Definitely. You know, we've been praying for quite some time, and it really should be our lifestyle. But now it's a desperate time of prayer that God would hear. And God does hear. You know, we're going to talk about that after we talk about Abraham Lincoln, to how, you know, God listens. But tell us about Abraham Lincoln and what happened in 1863.
Yeah, actually today, April the 30th.
1863.
152 years ago.
And this is right on the eve of our National Day of Prayer on May the
5th or the 6th? The 6th.
6th, uh-huh.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's actually the 7 days of prayer and fasting is leading up to.
Right.
But they're doing, and to commemorate, you know, that today was a National Day of Prayer and Fasting, actually a day of humiliation that the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, called. And it was actually absolutely amazing. It's also, by the way, the day that George Washington actually took his oath of office, and where he pledged so help me God, and actually opened
when he took his place as I'll be the president.
Yeah, actually, he turned to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, the book that talks about blessing and curses.
Wow!
And said, you know, so help me God, and kissed the Bible today. You know,
which is at the church. It's right. I mean, the Capitol is right across, right there where the twin towers.
Oh, it's in Manhattan. Yeah,
Manhattan, where the twin towers are.
Amazing. Well, I want to read to you the proclamation that President Lincoln declared. It was pretty amazing. Here it is. Whereas the Senate of the United States, devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God in all the affairs of men and of nations, has by a resolution requested the President to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation. And whereas it is the duty of nations, as well as men, to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures, and provide by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. And in so
think
much...
Think about that statement, the last statement.
Yeah.
Those nations who are blessed are the only ones that say that God is their Lord.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Is the president's on our penny.
Yes.
And our $5 bill.
Yeah. It has a huge monument in D.C.
Yes, the huge monument.
Yeah.
And
the
one that signed the Emancipation Proclamation to free slaves from slavery.
And actually, this was during the Civil War. I mean,
right.
There's great turmoil.
Civil War, for those that probably might not know, is that was when Americans were fighting against Americans over trying to free Americans who were held in slavery.
Yeah.
You know, for the right. So it was a very intense, amazing presidency that he had to be. He had only God
could
have touched him to be able
to
handle a divided nation like that.
Many lost lives. Many lost lives.
Yes. I guess it was, I don't remember the number.
I believe it was more people that died in the Civil War than in any other
war.
If
you
add them all up.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to continue reading. It says,
You're reading the proclamation for the National Day of Prayer from Abraham Lincoln. Okay.
That happened today 152 years
April
ago.
April 30th, 1863.
Correct.
Okay.
And in so much as we know that by his divine law, nations, like individuals, are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins and to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. She's talking about that the civil war could be a judgment on our nation for sins. It says, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We
it
have grown.
Sounds like right now, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not even done. You can listen to the rest of this.
Oh my goodness. So civil war could be in our future if we don't.
Yeah.
And it's like everything's trying to divide us. It's amazing. It's
everywhere you look all across the country, it's not about uniting, really. It's all about
dividing.
What sets us apart, dividing on every issue.
And Jesus said very specifically, he said, any nation and any household divided will fall. and we've got to come together, but that only will happen at the cross.
That's it.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, it's the only place.
Wow.
We have been the recipients of the choices of bounties of heaven. We have been preserved for these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. This is back in 1863 he's talking about. Mm. That no other nation has never been so blessed. And this, the nation just started. It was
probably
just
the same, same year the Emancipation Proclamation was signed as well. What you think about calling out prayer and the manifestation of that was a freedom for many of our American citizens who didn't even have the citizenry at that particular point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a huge, imagine who gets freed in this situation.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting too, is right after that is when the Second Great Awakening happened in America. Right before that.
Right before that, yes.
Yes, and like God prepared his people for what was about to happen, and the church was very, very important and relevant in regards to wanting to be abolitionists and to be able to help. And
many of the abolitionists were ministers. A lot of them were preaching the truth.
Sojourn and all different ones. Yes, exactly right.
Absolutely. He says, but, in spite of all this blessing, but we have forgotten God. Mm. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own.
Well, this is the President of the United States.
This is the President of the United States saying, we've got drunk on our blessing.
Wow.
We've been intoxicated with the wealth of our nation.
And so there's been, like, 44, 45 presidents? Is it
44, I believe.
44. And so this was the 15th of the 44.
16th,
I mean, of the 44 that was saying that this is, we're only here because God has allowed us to be here. I mean, he says in his word.
We took our own credit. He says, let us think that for our superior wisdom, we've made this nation.
Right, right.
When we, it's the, you know, it's God, hand of God.
Wow, dear Lord, are we there today or what? Lord, help us.
This is where we're at.
We need to pray.
Yeah, yeah. He said, intoxicated with unbroken success, we've become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace.
Self-sufficient.
Too proud to pray to the God that made us.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just heartbreaking, isn't it? Are we not here at this very same place today?
Yeah, 150 years later or something like that.
152 possibly. Years later, wow. And are we too proud to pray where we're taking prayer out of schools?
Yes.
We have no recognition of God. We don't want God anywhere in the public square pulling on his word.
Well, we just saw in the context of that, I want you to see this again. I mean, this was just said this weekend from Hillary Clinton. She's talking about, I mean, think about what this president's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she's wanting to run for
office.
But look, deep-seated religious beliefs, she's wanting to do away with them. Listen to this.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
And it's like that's the antithesis of President Abraham Lincoln.
And George Washington.
And George, I mean,
and Thomas Jefferson.
All presidents. And what Abraham Lincoln's saying in this proclamation is if we go that route and get rid of our beliefs in God, that we will not even have a country.
Yeah.
There's some other country in mind. Mm. That's people who want to do away with God has in mind.
Mm.
And it makes me think of, and if you haven't yet, you know, seen The Pink Room, you know, go to VFNTV.com and see it. But that began a journey. I was wondering why, you know, what was going on in this particular Pink Room, how it could happen. And then I traced it all the way back to, you know, people who wanted to fundamentally transform the nation that they're in.
Wow.
And they wanted to change it where it was, they were God. And I think it ended up in, it was Cambodia, it was Pol Pot, and Pol Pot said, after he killed all the intellectuals, all the religious people, and you may have seen a movie years ago called The Killing Fields, and this happened in the 70s, I believe, so it wasn't forever ago.
Not too far, yeah.
And, you know, anybody who had any kind of wisdom at all was killed. He got rid of the family structure, he put them in groups, and he said, the first day he said, today's day one, and God is dead.
Wow.
Well, you know, what I just heard from, you know, Hillary Clinton is like, you know, you don't need God.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of. And Abraham Lincoln saying, you can't have this without God.
That's right.
And of course, God says you can't have this without God because he determines whether a nation will rise or a nation will fall. If the nation does evil before him, one he intended to bless it, he said he'll take it down. But he said, and the good he intended to do for that nation, he'll just stop it.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people get confused over God had good plans for you.
Sure.
But since you went into rebellion, those plans can change. He could just stomp them. But he says, but if that nation repents, and that's what we're talking about
from
here.
From there, I'll bring you back.
From that place, God will bring us back. And this requires nothing less but repent, got to repent, you know, ever how you say that. It's just, that's the only thing. There's nothing else to do. But the greatest thing that we can do is do what Abraham, yeah. President Abraham yeah. Lincoln is saying, and not what we just heard other people that are yeah. saying. And people applauded that. There was a couple things in there, too, that I agree with in regards to, you know, get rid of this code words, because there's things people say, you know, they blow whistles, dog whistles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They talk about, and you know what they're really saying when they're saying what they're saying. But it was mixed in with, you know, remove God, you know, yeah. remove it. It's like, ah. Then yeah. you don't apply. You got to pause a minute for yeah. that, you know.
And many are wanting a time of refreshing, a renewal, the economy to change. But our Bible clearly tells us that, you know, repentance brings times of refreshings will come.
Well, that's
know?
Why Hitler got in. I mean, they were going through the Weimar Republic. It took millions and millions of the Weimar money, whatever it was, for $1 for yeah. America. They're printing money.
They said it was cheaper to
burn.
Money.
We're printing money now.
Yeah. It was cheaper to burn their money to heat themselves than it was to pay the power bill, if you will. You know, they were burning it in their fireplaces.
Think about that. And, you know, and most people live paycheck to paycheck. So, you know, you're going to be cold when winter comes. You're going to have much money to burn.
Well, that's right.
But they did print $17 trillion, so maybe they'll start
There's
passing
plenty
that
around,
out.
Yeah.
Because the kids were actually stacking it. Yeah. And they said this. They said that when they said that you can work for us during that time of this financial collapse that was going on in Germany, where Hitler was on the rise, they wanted to get rid of God. He was going to have his Mein Kampf, you know, Bible in the future. You know, all these things were going to happen. This is what was going on. All the groundwork was being set for this communist, you know, thing. Which in communism is about, you know, God's gone, government's God. God will provide for you. Government won't. Government will provide for you. God, I am God. The government would say. Their utopia. And when you read, I mean, if you read Hillary Clinton's term paper, her thesis, you know, for her, when she graduated from college, done on Saul Alinsky's techniques, she talks about, you know, there's no true ownership, you know, of properties. It's kind of communal type aspects of it. And it's like,
it's utopia of some sort.
Yeah, it's like, and that's what Pol Pot was going for, utopia. He thought if he takes everybody back to the rice fields, gets rid of all this intelligence that's going on, with wisdom and technology and all that, and if people go back to the rice fields, everything's going to be fine. They called it the killing fields, folks.
Wow.
Because to be able to force these things in that is against God, many people have to die. Many people have to die. And we can prevent that today by doing, and we'll talk more about it, we get back from the break, what Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, declared in a national day of prayer. And here we got global request from Australia to pray for our country. Dear Lord, hear these prayers
yes.
we pray in Jesus' name. John, continue reading this. This is a National Day of Prayer declared by President
Abraham
Lincoln, our 16th president in 1863, today, April 30th, 1863. And it just seems to line up so much because that just what you just said.
Yeah.
What's that last line you just said?
He said, intoxicated with unbroken success, we've become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and perceiving grace, preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us.
Well, that's why, you know, the Lord showed me very specifically during President George W. Bush's administration, mm-hmm. you know, when the financial crisis, remember Paulson coming out?
Yes.
And he's
terrified.
He's like, everything's going to be all right.
Henry Paulson.
Yeah, you got to see this video. It's like, you know, John and I were like, jaws hanging, like, this is not good. They just came out of that secret meeting
yeah.
about what they're
going to do. It was in the
Rose
Garden.
I mean, yeah, and they came out with the packages, yeah. you know, the stimulus packages. But God showed me America was like a plane heading for a crash.
Oh, yeah.
And the president was hanging on to the steering wheel, and it was just going straight down. He was just being a brave man. It was going down. And then he said, the president did say, not in this particular prophetic dream, but he said to everybody, he said that Wall Street got drunk.
Mm-hmm.
On their stocks or whatever, drunk on the wealth, and that's exactly what is being said there.
Yeah, exactly,
it's amazing.
Yeah, he continues to say, it behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness.
That's important because national sins are many. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you know, slavery, they were in slavery, fighting for slavery.
Right.
Part of America was fighting for it. Another half was fighting against it. And that was a national sin that we had to repent for. And there's one of many that are going on. So a lot of times we just think about ourselves and not historical sin. I just recently taught on that, you know, where King David had a famine going on for 3 years, and the Gibeonites were done wrong by his former predecessor. It wasn't him, but his administration was suffering for past administrations. Mm. It was King Saul who almost annihilated the Gibeonites. And so, but the present administration, which was King David that came after him, God's chosen man, he wasn't doing anything wrong. It actually was, he was living out the sins of his fathers.
Wow.
And so he went and prayed and asked God what it was, and it was because Saul mistreated the Gibeonites. And so he went to the Gibeonites, talking about national sin, because what is repentance? Because a lot of people say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The repentance was, David went to them and said to people who weren't God's people, what do we need? We're sorry for what happened. What do we need to do so that you would bless the inheritance of the Lord?
Wow.
Is that humility or what? Versus like, yeah, I'm sorry, here's some money.
Get over it.
Get you a little something, something.
Yeah.
He asked the question from somebody who wasn't God.
Which was huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And so he said, no, you're the king. We're not going to do this. And then finally, you know, he said, no, what is it? And they named the price and they did it. And you know what? When David paid the price, the 3-year drought where they didn't have any food, the economic crisis was going on, all of a sudden the clouds burst forth and it began to rain on the harvest and it was totally over.
Wow.
But you're saying, you know, repenting from national sins. We have to deal with those sins, yeah, the sins of our fathers. Wow. Yeah.
He goes on to say, now therefore in compliance with the request and fully concurring in the views of the Senate, I do by this my proclamation designate and set apart Thursday the 30th day of April 1863, 152 years ago today, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. I do hereby request all the people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite at their several places of public worship and their respective homes in keeping the day holy to the Lord. This is the President of the United States.
Wow.
Holy to the Lord and devoted to the humble discharge of the religious duties proper to that solemn occasion. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then rest humbly in the hope authorized by divine teachings that the united cry of the nation will be heard on high and answered with blessings no less than the pardon of our national sins and the restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace. In witness whereof, I hereunto set my hand and cause the seal of the United States to be affixed.
So awesome, because you think about, you know, these politics that divide, don't let it divide us as the church.
No.
We need to unite around God. We need to unite around the cross of Christ. We need to... The one thing, this is the beautiful thing about our God, is that he's looking for an opportunity to forgive us. Hmm. He's looking for an opportunity to restore us. He's not waiting for us to make it right. He made it right in his son, but we have to acknowledge where we went wrong, and we got to get back on the right track again. I mean, he's looking for that opportunity. The opportunity is, you know, declaring a national day of prayer, us praying and saying, God, forgive us. Lord, you know, cleanse us from our sins. And going to folks and just saying, listen, you know, you were done wrong. What do we need to do for you to bless the Lord's inheritance? Mm. You know, instead of just like, let's just move on. No, if there was injustices in this nation, we need to find out in great humility, even like King David did when he dealt with historical sins. And we're going to make that available for all of our partners. It's totally there for you for free of charge. And being a partner of any amount, go to VFNTV.com. But you got to hear about dealing with historical sins. It's just so empowering. And once he did that, rain began to happen. I believe the sins of our fathers are foaming up. And all we have to do is just go deal with them. As a matter of fact, join us in our next program. You're going to see where one young German Christian lady is there at a Holocaust camp. And she's speaking to some young teenage Jews and how she is responding in a place of acting out in repentance. It's just a powerful thing. But I want to encourage you, join us today. Join those that are praying around the world. Because this whole time of prayer they're talking about from the 30th all the way up to the 6th is on the eve of America's National Day of Prayer, which I think is May the 7th, mm-hmm, where we can all be praying that time. God, hear our prayers. As a matter of fact, let's just right now, just join us in a time of prayer. And I want you just to take this moment. Take this moment and just think about how important this is, that God is looking for the opportunity to forgive us and to restore us. And it's important to think, yeah, they need to do that. You know, we need to do this.
We need to do that.
It's us.
Yeah.
You know, God loves all of his creation. And it's like, you know, it begins with someone willing to do what King David did, willing to do what President Abraham Lincoln did, and not what we just heard, you know, taking place. It's just some pretty wild stuff. Father God, we just come to you now, Jesus. Father God, and we ask you, first of all, to forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Our viewers that are watching and listening, God, we pray that, Lord, that you would just forgive them, Father God. Forgive us for the sins of our fathers and the injustices that all took place as well, God. Lord, the sins of this nation, we repent for them, God. You know, we were wrong, they were wrong, God, and you were right, Father God. I pray for equality in this nation before you, Father God. I pray, Father God, for peace to be restored, Father God. I pray, Lord God, for your church to awaken and arise, Lord, and the righteousness to flourish again in this nation, Father God. We pray that you, God, would be the Lord of this nation, just like Abraham Lincoln said, that we would make you the Lord of our nation, hence we would be a blessed nation, Lord. We ask you for it, your intent for this nation, in Jesus' name, amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.